Welcome to the Law of Attraction Traction, Quantum Consciousness Connection and Creation with my mom, holistic psychotherapist Corinne Bierfeld. Corinne has worked in private practice for over 20 years and has witnessed miraculous recoveries treating those who've experienced trauma. Trauma stored in the body can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. When unconscious, programs and traumas are accessed and released, negative core beliefs and maladaptive behaviors can be permanently reprogrammed. Dive deeper into the Law of Attraction and go beyond whatever is blocking you from attracting the life you want with Corinne Bierfeld. The Law of Attraction starts right now.
I love it. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning us in, turning us on. I always love listening to that. I just love the whole energy of it and really talking about it. You know, Corinne, you and I are going to take this conversation on again because I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the Law of Attraction Traction. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to share the stage with the most amazing Corinne Bierfeld. You know, today we're talking about a part two, let's call it Benny, Jacob, Olivia, if we could, the importance of boundaries and managing our energy. And I had a giant dose of that this morning, Corinne. So It's not a mistake that just about every time we start to talk about something like this, there's a reminder as I prep for the show and what I can do and how to go about it. But obviously, boundaries are something you deal with every day with your clients, right?
Yes, every day with my clients and in my personal life. Hi, it's good to be with you. And I don't think it was a coincidence that you had an experience this morning that would be relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. It's interesting how the universe tends to work that way. I had one yesterday, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about boundaries because as we're talking about the law of attraction, I was, you know, really reflecting on how important it is that we get to a place where we're able to manage our own energy. And one of the most important ways that we can do that is being able to have healthy and clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about what that means for people that may be thinking, you know, I've heard about the whole boundary thing, but I'm not exactly sure. I want to just break it down for people in the way that you do on a regular basis. So, for example, we're talking about everything from somebody just getting way too close in our face, like physically, right?
Yeah.
Then we're also talking about emotional boundaries that. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about mental or cognitive, you know, which usually gets expressed in words. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about boundaries, the question is really, you know, what is it that another person might do, might say,
yeah,
right, might throw at you that just makes you feel like, ooh, one, this is not safe. Ooh, this feels really icky. Mm-hmm. And three, I'm too afraid to do anything about it. Okay, take it away.
Well, thanks for teeing me up there. I think the way you phrased the question was actually really on point because what you said is, what is it about what other people do that will make us feel a certain way? And what you're implying in that is, I think we all have an internal guidance system, whether we realize it or not, which is, our bodies a lot of time will recognize, like in a split second, way before our conscious mind will, if something is healthy for us or if it's unhealthy for us. And we will feel it in somatically a lot of times in our body. So if our boundaries get violated, it'll be usually a very quick instant reaction. Problem that a lot of times I think people run into is we override what our bodies are saying. Instead of listening to the internal guidance system that we have, which is always telling us if something is healthy or appropriate or good for us, or if it's if we're being violated in some way. And then there's different levels and degrees of boundary violation. Mm-hmm. And so what I've found is that in my own personal journey anyway, the more that I have moved into a place of really like self-love and honoring myself, the clearer my boundaries have become. So I used to be a big people pleaser. Still,
I call it. Are you ready?
Wait, I'm ready.
Wait for it.
Benny, I'm waiting.
Don't hit the yellow button, Benny. It's called the PP syndrome.
There you go. That's perfect.
So professional, aren't we?
So good.
But you see, it's big and it's gotten bigger. You know, look, you and I sit in a world where, especially you more than me, because I'm not practicing. I'm not a practicing counselor like you are.
Yeah.
But we have watched in the past decade the annihilation, the evaporation, the lack of clarity on what even appropriate boundaries are. I mean, mm-hmm. social media and the entire debate right now as to whether or not we should let lies be mm-hmm. broadcast. And I'm not saying who's lying. So let me just be very clear here. I'm just uh-huh. saying, but hasn't it gotten more complicated for you?
Well, it really has. That's actually a really good example of a boundary that I have set recently. I used to So on my phone, you know, I have the apps for all of social media. I had Instagram, had Facebook. And what I would notice is that, you know, you're constantly getting the notifications. And so what do you do when you see a notification? You immediately hit it and whatever pops up. And it's like, I started to realize that, you know, I would hit the thing thinking I'll just look at whatever notification, and 20 minutes, half hour later, I'm putting all kinds of unfiltered garbage into my brain. So recently I've taken those apps off of my phone so that I don't do that. Just that's an example of a minor boundary. But I think it's really easy to open ourselves up to whatever is out there, especially with social media, a lot of negativity and for sure things that I don't want to be putting into my brain can come in. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it challenging though? Because on the one hand, you're a mom, you're mm-hmm. a professional like me. And especially in what I do, I have to stay on top of stuff, right?
Yes.
I mean, something other than how Dr. Strange is doing in the box office, right? But you have to stay on top of it. So you have to learn not to get overexposed, right? And I love the term overexposed, because we can let people get into our space and we find ourselves overexposed. We find ourselves in situations, behavioral and otherwise, and we think to ourselves, wow, I should have stopped this 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago.
Now we're doing some truth telling.
Right. Yeah. You know, so one of my great teachers that I've had in my life, he would always say, you know, he really helped me a lot on my own journey of just, you know, as I continued my own personal growth, he would say, as I continue to focus on my health, my job is to focus on me and my healing. And as I continue to focus on my own growth, I know I'm going to get better. And then the people that are around me are either going to get better with me, they're going to come along for the ride, they're going to rise up with me, or they're going to get gone. And he would say, I'm okay with either one. And that's when I first heard that, I was like, well, that sounds easy to say, but it's a really hard reality to put into practice sometimes. And so, you know, my own experience with setting boundaries with people is, first of all, beginning to discern who in my life is a healthy person, who brings me up, who's like going to be a supportive cheerleader, who wants the best for me, who's going to raise me up higher than I already am or see me beyond where I already am, and who is that, you know, over the course of my life had the experience of having people who just are more unconscious. Not that they're bad people, just that they tend to, in some cases, interacting with them would bring me down. But in more severe cases, it would be dealing with very toxic individuals. And getting discernment around who's healthy, who's not. And then with the people that are not so healthy, learning how to state, this is what I feel like I want out of this relationship. This is what I expect or deserve. And learning how to detach once I've stated an expectation, if that person isn't willing to meet me there. Now, everybody has bad days and everybody can go into their unconscious stuff. But, you know, like one of the things I've learned over the years is that the healthier a person is, there's certain characteristics that go along with healthy people. Like healthy people tend to be more self-reflective. Healthy people will tend to quickly take responsibility if they've harmed someone. They tend to want to become better. They want to work on themselves. They're interested in personal growth. They, most healthy people don't intentionally cause harm to others, but the opposite is also true when you are dealing with people who are, and I'm going to just call them more like, I don't know, toxic is even a good word, more unconscious toxic's people. Good. You like toxic, the word toxic?
I like toxic only because there's a handful of people that understand conscious and unconscious. But mainstream America understands it when you say toxic people.
Okay.
And, you know, it's okay to say it because we're saying toxic is a series of attributes.
Yes.
And we can talk about that. So what does toxic look like? Maybe somebody is not respectful to you, right?
Right. Toxic, I think, looks like the opposite of what I've just described, honestly. So toxic would be the more toxic someone is, the less likely they are to take responsibility for themselves or for their behavior, for their lives. They tend to play the victim more. The more toxic someone is, the more they tend to cause pain for other people. They don't want to self-reflect. They're not interested in growth or in self-improvement. They tend to play the victim a lot. I actually, do you know who the psychic medium John Edwards is? Have you heard of him?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He was using this great analogy. It's a little graphic, but it brought the point home. I was listening to an interview with him recently, and he was kind of using the energy of like, okay, if our energy field is like a swimming pool, like let's say you have your own swimming pool at your house. If you have a pool, you want to put a lot of time into maintaining the pool. You want to make sure algae doesn't grow. You're going to put in the right amount of chemicals to keep it clean and the bleach and all of that. Now, if you had someone and you want people to be in your pool and to enjoy the pool with you and to like, you know, so it's more fun if you have healthy people. But if you had somebody that came in your pool and peed in your pool,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the word toxic. So he's like, you may let that happen once, but how many times are you going to let somebody come in and pee in your pool? Yeah. So it's so important not to let people in that are going to keep peeing in your pool, you know, yeah. To manage your energy.
That. I so love that you're describing it like that. And let me tell you why I love it. Because when somebody crosses a boundary, it feels that invasive.
Right.
And it really does. I mean, it feels to the point where there are ranges. So I want to be clear. If you are engaged with a narcissist, and I'm not talking about throwing the word around. I'm talking about somebody that's got NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. 9 times out of 10, one, you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
But two, you know your heart hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. Three, you know you're going to try pleasing them even after they're peeing in your pool over and over and over again.
Right. Someone with NPD would be really, they would meet all the criteria that I described, which is that they're never going to take responsibility. They're always going to blame, shift, and make. And one of the ways you know if you're dealing with a toxic person is that you will come away from the interaction not feeling good. You'll feel bad in your body. And the more toxic, the more that'll be true. And when you get people that are personality disordered, they actually thrive on that. They look for that. They want to make you feel bad. So what I've learned too about boundary setting is it's a boundary isn't, you know, jumping up and down and screaming and telling the other person that they need to change their behavior or demanding that they change. And especially if you're dealing with a personality disorder, good luck with that. That's not going to work. They'll just feed on that and probably continue the behavior more. So what a boundary really is getting clear within yourself. Okay. This is what I'm willing to tolerate in a relationship. This is what I'm not. And if this person isn't capable of meeting me where I'm at and honoring the boundaries I'm setting, I just need to detach. I just need to disengage. I need to stop giving this relationship energy. And that was a hard one for me. It's been a hard life lesson, because especially with family members, I've had to, toxic family members and stuff, or unhealthy family members. Not that I'm saying to people that they need to just like cut off anybody who violates a boundary, but learning that it's okay for me to say no to relationships, that I don't have to allow myself to be involved in relationships that cause me harm. That was a big, big, big life lesson. And so the boundary is I disengage, I walk away, I focus on the people that are going to be supportive of me. And one of the things that I learned through the training that I did, in the Wellness Institute, which is where I learned how to do hypnotherapy, is it's not so much our behavior as it is the underlying intention behind our behavior that really matters, the state that we're in when we engage in the behavior. So what I mean by that is, when I talk about disengaging from relationships, I used to, if someone was upset with me, I would go into such a place of like, I need to fix this relationship. I need to make sure that it's okay. And the flip that has happened for me is recognizing, this person's on a journey. They're allowed to be on their journey, but I don't need to fix them. And if I pull away, my underlying intention is not to cause that person harm. The underlying intention for myself is just to be honoring of myself so that I can stay in a healthy state. Because as we're talking, we keep talking about law of attraction and what do we want to create in our life? Well, our relationships and the people that we surround ourselves with, I think are by far have the most, the greatest impact on our state, which then of course is going to determine what we draw to us. So we need to be so mindful of who we're allowing around us, because I would say our relationships, number one, and then probably social media second, determine the state that we live in. So what the difference between setting a boundary, when you know you're in a healthy place, it's like you can disengage from a relationship and have compassion for the person you're disengaging from, not wish them ill, but just know that you're doing it to protect yourself versus like what I would call, sometimes people are passive aggressive or do the silent treatment, or if they're coming out of a place of I'm doing this to punish, it's a very different state and it's a very different energy. Does that make sense?
Yes. And part of what we're talking about is really important, because when we stand up for ourselves, if I might put it like that, because that's what it feels like sometimes, Corinne, when we stand up for ourselves, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but it is an essential thing to do. And there are so many ways that we have to do it. For example, you knew you were in a toxic relationship, or let's just say a not so great relationship with somebody, family member, an ex, it doesn't matter, a boss, right? But you made a conscious decision that you forgive and forget, you moved on. And then you get a birthday card. That doesn't mean that the birthday card says that you actually, one, have to even open it, two, have to respond back to it. And that's really where the teaching comes in.
Yeah.
Because just because, right, something happens with a relationship that you know is harmful to you, and it's harmful to you in multiple ways, mentally, emotionally, and it could be physically, we have the right to say no.
Yes. Well, we do.
are there examples where you give people second chances or you take time to listen to them? Of course there are. But you get to the point where you say, I just don't want to continue to have this boundary not feel good.
Yes, and you or continue request, to have your boundary violated.
Right. Yeah. And you go and you make the request and you say, hey, can you not text me 100 times of the day before you actually delete their phone number, right?
You sound like you might have some of your own experience with this. Yeah. So you have some idea of what I'm talking
about. And I'm kind of like, there's not much that will ruffle my feathers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a lot for me to get to the point where I've had enough. There has to be, and that's a relationship I have with my brother. I had to get to the point where I had to say, no matter what I do, no matter what we try to do, there's going to be a hurt that I feel.
Yeah. Right?
And that is one of the hardest things to do. But the other thing, Karine, I would like you to talk to is you don't get to these decisions by yourself.
No. I mean,
why is it we go to counseling? Why is it people come to you? Because mm-hmm. they need help. Isn't that the critical point about how to address a healthy boundary? Because we don't see ourselves, right?
Sometimes I think it's really hard. Yes, it could be helpful to get a perspective from an outside person who's a third party, but it doesn't always have to be a therapist. It could also be a healthy friend that you trust their judgment. You know, what you touched on with your brother, that has been one of my experiences too, how difficult it is, especially when you're talking about a family member, like you said, it could be a sibling or an ex or a parent. It's a really hard thing for someone to come to a realization of, okay, this is, you know, to really disengage from a core relationship like that. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing. And I've worked with clients, some who make the decision that they just are going to go completely no contact because they just, any interaction is so harmful. And some who decide, especially if it's like family members, that kind of thing, that they keep the contact very limited. So like, you know, if it's a toxic parent, that they will, okay, we're going to visit for Christmas, but then they'll make sure that they have, you know, they're going to stay for an hour, and then they've got a plan of where they have to be next and a reason to leave. So they don't spend 8 hours with the person. They manage it and they keep it more limited. And that's okay too. You know, I think it's kind of an individual mm-hmm. thing for each person to decide. But I just really want to validate, you know, when you talk about your brother and how difficult, it's a hard thing. This is not an easy thing to do. No. The reason I wanted to do this, on this topic is because, boy, I know what a difficult life lesson it's been for me over and over. But I have also come to realize like how important it really is, mm-hmm. how important it is, to get clear that it's okay to honor ourselves enough and to love ourselves enough to say no to people that are unhealthy. And, and saying no doesn't even have to be a verbal no. It just means we don't continue to engage and respond and interact with people that are going to like draw us into the muck.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in the muck.
Yeah. And part of this too is, and just talking with you about this is, let me just be a little bit clear. We're using very generalizations, and some of these are harder than others. For example, when it comes to a son or a daughter, a child, you know, those take a skill. They take, and sometimes it's an easy one. You know, sometimes it's one of these things where, you know, they're pushing your limit, right? Mm-hmm. By asking you for the extra 10 bucks in the, right? Uh-huh. But other times it's not. Other times it's something more serious. Karine, this is a very important show, a very powerful, but this is also represents the body of work you do with others. Mm-hmm. Let's take a minute and let folks know, one, how can they find out more about how to work with you? And let them, you know, take a look at some of the things you do. What is the best way to do that?
So they can go to my website, which is my name, KarineBierfelt.com, and there is information on my practice there, and my contact information, my office number, and how to reach me is on there as well. You know, when you bring up the parents, I'm like, oh, I'm working with some right now who have children. So especially if you're dealing with a child who is an addict, for example, or you talked about narcissistic personality disorder, you have a child who is just out of control in some way with their behavior. I think that's probably the hardest thing for a parent to draw a line with their own child to say no more, you know, but sometimes it's, you know, they talk about hitting bottom for people. Sometimes people just really need to experience the consequences of their behavior enough and suffer enough if there's going to be any hope for them to begin to recover.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think that this is a part two to a conversation because
we could talk about this for hours. I know.
But yeah. But the other part of it is it's so relevant now. It's so relevant in so many different ways. And what social media has done, it's done a lot of great things to connect us, but it's also done a lot of things to blur the lines, right? And
for sure.
Because the lines are now blurred and because we don't want to not please someone, it does get complicated. So thank you for taking this on. Again, let me just ask, tell people how to find you, but also what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
So again, my website is my name, KareemBierfelt.com. And as far as a personal message, I just think it would be something around this principle of learning to love yourself enough that you and to honor yourself enough that you begin to trust your own body, your body's wisdom, to have discernment, to speak up when something doesn't feel right, and to be able to begin to really set those healthy, clear boundaries that will help you to live the kind of life you really want to live.
Thanks for joining the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Karene Bierfelt. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio and learn how you can heal from the traumas and conditions you thought were impossible. Get inspired to pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. To learn more about Karene and her and the services she provides as holistic psychotherapist, visit her website at KareenBierfelt.com.